do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So ends the reading of God's Word. For little ones ages 3 years old up to kindergarten, you may exit if so desired. Children are welcome to stay in here as well, but exit, take a left, take another left. This morning, our brother Logan Pries is here with us. Thankful that the Lord has provided and trusting that he is going to speak a word through him. So pray for him as he comes up now. Thank you.
Well, there you were, sitting in your seventh grade English class, quietly waiting for class to start. For some reason, the teacher hasn't quite arrived, and the class is getting a little disturbed, a little bit, not too much, but it's maybe a little bit normal. But in comes Billy. You all know Billy. I'm sorry if your name's Billy. This probably wasn't you. Little, stocky, farmer-looking kid, always looking for the opportunity, if you know what I mean. He glances back out into the hallway and looks both ways and comes back into the class with a grin on his face. And he proceeds to walk up to the chalkboard and take his stubby farmer fingernails and attach them to the chalkboard and pull. Yeah, I hear the sounds out there. And some of you, your spine is arching and you're gritting your teeth. I don't even have to play the sound, but I can. Are you ready? I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. You hear it. It disturbs. Whatever you were doing 10 seconds ago, it doesn't matter anymore. Your hands shoot up to your ears to plug them because you got to get rid of that sound, that noise that is there. How do I get rid of this noise? I don't have to tell you what noise does to your attention, what it does to your body, what it does to your ears. But have you ever considered what noise does to your soul? There's physical noise that penetrates the eyes as you drive down the road and see all the advertisements, as you scroll through your phone and see the advertisements, as you, everywhere you go, your eyes are moving to this, to that. Your ears are hearing all these sounds as they come your way. All the physical noise. And yet, for some reason, I get to be oblivious to some of this, and I become numb to it. I don't, so much of it that is bombarding me every day, I don't hear it. I don't realize what it's doing to me. I don't see it. The music, the traffic, the message alerts, the pings, the emails, the buzzes, all these things. And they put it all together in this nice little box you can put in your pocket. It's all there. And then there's cultural noise that penetrates your mind and says, this is what you need to think. It teaches us. It confronts you. It informs you. This is how you need to live. This is what's important. This is who you need to be. Every day, friends, we are blasted with noise, and amid that noise, we're trying to figure out how to navigate ourselves through this life so that our life counts for something. I'm trying to figure out how to move my way through each day so that at the end of the day, I feel like I've accomplished something. At the end of the year, I feel like I've done what I was supposed to do. And I get to the end of my life and I look and say, this is what my life was about. This is what I was supposed to do. We want our lives to matter. We want our lives to count. I don't want to waste my life. Nobody's here is going to raise their hand and say, I want my life to be wasted. Nobody's going to do that. Because we want our life to matter. We want our life to have an impact. But along that path, noise enters. And it's those distractions that start redirecting our attention and moving us to this or to that or to here or there. And I don't realize it. It's what made this message really, really difficult and hard for me to sift through. This is hard for me. It's a simple, profound truth right here in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we just read. But I struggle here because I don't always hear the noise. Sometimes I get to the end of that and I realize, oh man, that's what I was supposed to. I was trying to do this and I ended up here. How did I end up over here? How did I do this? Why did we get to this point? All the distractions day by day, trying to plan out my path with great ambitions. But as you get older, you soon look back and you realize your life never quite turned out the way that you were hoping that it would. Like you never got to do the things that you thought you were going to do. Or all the plans that you thought were going to be in the, all these small steps, right, each day have landed you where you are. Now, don't get me wrong. Your life has not been a mistake. I'm not leading you there. You are exactly where God wants you right now. Right here today is where God has you. You can't look back and say, well, I've messed up my whole life. It's all messed up. No. I'm saying the charge for us here in this text is from today forward, what is the step? How do I move forward in this? From this day forward, the noise of this culture is going to seek to pull you away from God. It's going to seek to pull you away from the things that are most important. What you believe about God sets the trajectory of your life. What you believe about God sets the aim and the thrust and the mission. It's where you will land in the next 10 years, in the next 5 years, in the next month. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul says, now concerning brotherly love. I thought this was interesting, and the struggle that in the text that I faced was this connection. As we got down to verse 11 that Kevin just read for us, he said, at the end of verse 10, we encourage you, brothers, to do so even more and more, right? This brotherly love, to seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Well, what do those things, seeking to lead a quiet life and paying attention to my business and working, what does that have to do with loving one another? Why is this under the umbrella of loving one another? He is concerned about the love that we have for one another in the church. Brotherly love. Something happens with our love for one another and our love for believers when we are not paying attention to our time with God. It is meditation and focus and reflection on your time with God and His Word that gives focus to the business that God intends for you. And it drives you into action. It moves you to do the proper activities and the proper work that God intends for you. Love one another. And he says that love, and he even tells them that in fact, you've been doing this to all the brothers in the entire region of Macedonia. Like, you have this pattern set. You're doing a great job. Look at the landing. You're doing a great job of loving one another. But do so more and more. You've got the admonishment here is there's always room to grow. There's another way for me to take love for one another to the next level. How do I take my love for the body of Christ and for the believers and for my family? How do I take that to the next level? And here's the aim. Here's the charge. Quit running around all over the place. Stop. Focus on the business that God has for you to do. Pour your life into that mission and work hard to accomplish that. Why? There's two reasons in the text. One, so that you would walk properly in the presence of outsiders. There is a world of people out there that are just consumed with the values of the culture. Absolutely consumed. But you're a follower of Jesus and you're different. You're not consumed. You shouldn't be consumed by the values of this culture. You shouldn't be eaten up by all the same things that they are. Your pattern of life is different. You're a child of God. Walk different. Why? They need to see something different. so that you may walk properly in the presence of outsiders. Your mission is to be different, to be a follower of Christ so that they would look at you and say, there is something different about you. What is it about your life? Can you tell me what's different about you? We sent our girls, Nora and Nessa, off to Nepal. And as they were on their way out the door, I reminded them of the meaning of their names, and I gave them a charge from Matthew chapter 5. Nora Christine means light bearer of Christ. And Nessa Grace means the Lamb of Grace. And I gave them Matthew 5:16. I said, girls, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And they're out there in Nepal, working hard, serving. We're seeing pictures of them with little orphan children and leprous people that are in need of a Savior, of Jesus. You, in your neighborhood, are going to walk out there, and there are people around you and in your workplace that need to see your light. They need to see your light so shine that they would say, "Who? Your life's different. Teach me. Show me. Let me understand who you are. Let your light so shine." That's the first reason. You're a follower of Christ, and there's a world of people out there that need to know who Jesus is, because Jesus died to pay the price for their sins, that they might, by believing in Him, have everlasting life. And you can show them the way. You can teach them how they could come to know Jesus as their personal Savior and to follow Him and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Would you confess your sin to Him, acknowledge Him, and pray that to receive Him? If you believe in Him, you will have life everlasting. Wouldn't that be amazing this week to have the opportunity to share Jesus with somebody that you encounter? I hope you do. I pray you do, because they want to see that light. The second reason in the text isn't just to be walk properly in the presence of outsiders, but secondly, he says, so that you're not dependent on anybody. You're not a burden to the body of Christ. There was a problem in Paul's day. They thought, well, the coming of Christ is coming, so we just forget our jobs, quit, and we're just going to wait and sit around and not really do anything. And they started feeding off of the needs off of other people and grabbing things and trying to figure out how to live and how to survive by not working. They're a burden. They're not doing anything, minding their own business and taking care of the things that are at hand that they should be. They're being lazy. You have an opportunity in the body of Christ to serve, to get active, to get involved, and to minister, and to encourage. And the word in Ephesians is to edify, or to build up the body of Christ through the gifts that God has given you. That is what we do. You're in the body of Christ, so build up the body of Christ. So don't be a burden. So in this text, we have three disciplines that we move forward in. And the first one is, as you learn about loving one another, and under the umbrella of loving one another, the first thing that you need to do is to seek to lead a quiet life. Lead a quiet life. Love must meditate. Love must meditate. A quiet life. Stop running around all over the place and seek. The word seek here is the word ambition. It means to be ambitious about slowing down. Is that weird? Be ambitious about stopping. Rest. Rest in Him. Seek Him. Stop running around all over the place and seek the Lord. Where does peace and rest come from? Amid the harried and busy schedule that you have, that everybody else sitting next to you has. We're all busy. We're all terribly busy. Just ask somebody how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Like that. That's probably going to be their answer these days. Like, I'm just busy. Why? Slow down and reflect. Psalm 22 in verse 2, he says, my God, I cry out to you, but you don't answer by night, yet I have no rest. Sometimes in your stopping and in your praying, you just like, God, I just need rest, and it doesn't come. And it comes when we don't expect it. It comes when God gives you that rest, because it's His to give. Sometimes you just feel that turmoil, though, and you're in that, and you're like, I'm trying to seek you, Lord, but I'm I'm struggling here. You feel it? You feel it sometimes? Rest. Psalm 62, verse 5. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. Psalm 119, verse 165. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction, and nothing makes them stumble. Consider the source of peace, right? Where does the source of peace come from? It comes from His instruction, from His Word. As you spend time there sifting, let it wash out your brain of all the other values that are out there and say, this is what life is about. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. John 14, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. I'm not going to give you what the world gives you. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Don't go to any other source. All the other sources out there that promise peace and this is the way, this is how you're supposed to live, they don't have the answers. Peace comes from God alone. John 16, he says, I told you these things so that in me you might have peace. You'll have suffering in this world. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. It's not just an easy road, right? But be courageous, he says, because I have conquered the world. I've conquered the world. You can have confidence in Him. Why? He's already won the war. It's done. Sin and death is defeated. It's abolished. You don't have to live for those values. You don't. In Philippians 4, you guys know this verse. The peace of God, which surpasses every thought, all understanding, right, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Seek to lead a quiet life. Rest. Stop. Slow down. Don Whitney has it right in his book, The Disciplines of the Christian Life. He says this. Most information, and just precursor by saying you understand the culture in which we live, information overload. Like there's so much information available at instant notice. Like you don't have to work to find the information that you're looking for. You don't have to struggle to understand something anymore. You can just Google it. And the information's there. It's available for free. Well, maybe not for free, but you had to figure it out. Like you don't have to struggle to find the information. Don Whitney says, most information, even biblical information, passes through our minds like water through a sieve. There's usually so much information coming in each day that we retain very little. But when we meditate, the truth remains and percolates. We can smell its aroma more fully and taste it better. It brews in our brain. The insights come. The heart is warmed by meditation, and cold truth is melted into passionate action. I love that. Fundamentally, what you believe about God is going to set the trajectory of your life. Letting the Word of God percolate and brew and sift through and dig deep into your heart and into your motives and who you are and say, this is who God is, this is who I am. Lord, help me to be more like you. It's in those moments of focus and meditation that you see yourself more clearly. You understand the heart of your Creator. Close your mouth and open your mind to see things God's way. We have classes out there that teach us all kinds of things. How to speak, how to be more productive, how to get things done, how to build a better team. All this information that's out there to try and teach us how to do all these things. But the one thing that I think we are missing today is the value of learning to be settled and undisturbed in meditation. To just resting in Him and letting His Word percolate. The value of meditation, the value of reflection. Instead of always being on the move and looking, we get uncomfortable when we're sitting quiet. Like you're sitting quietly for a little bit and you're like, could somebody turn some music on? Like it's too quiet. Right? We just get so accustomed to noise. We just want some more noise to fill the air. Try on a drive sometime. Just try turning everything off and just let the quietness rule and seek the Lord. Let quietness drive you into your time in the Word and put your attention upon Him. Lead a quiet life. How do I do that? Well, you got to make your time each day with the Lord a priority. We sang about it several times this morning. I will seek you in the morning. And step by step. I just want to seek the Lord. Get up in the morning and spend time with Him. Before you touch your phone, before you touch your computer, before you grab any food, except your coffee. You got to grab your coffee. Then you can come and sit down and let it warm your... Anyway. Let the Word of God just sift through. In the practice of your day, like, learn to pay attention to the distractions. This is the reason I struggle, because I don't always see and feel them until I realize I've already gone down that rabbit trail, right? I don't have to respond to every text message right away. I don't. So stop, especially if you're sitting there with somebody else, face-to-face with somebody. He talks about that in 1 Thessalonians 3, right? The face-to-face encounters that we have in the relationship with one another and the value of those relationships, right? You don't have to answer every phone call right away. Like, the expectations now are that because you have that thing in your pocket, anybody can get a hold of you any moment, any time, at any given second, and your expectation is that you would respond right now. What are they doing? They're not, they haven't responded to that text. What's going on here? Come on, come on, come on. I need the answer right away, right now. You don't have to. Don't feel the pressure. Just stop. Just stop. Find the things. You have to find the things that are a distraction to you. What are the things? Like, you sit down. The number of times this past week I sat down for quiet time in my office is the same as my office for my work. And so it's like, sometimes the construction world gets up a little earlier than most people, and you're like, this is perfect quiet time. I'm not even clocked in. Can have some quiet time. And that's right. There's a job going on. So I got to answer this. I got to talk. And the next thing I know, I'm off doing these things. I never even sat down. I got to stop and sit down and spend some time. And then, oh, there's that email. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That another buzz, another ding, another ping. Another need here or there to respond to, and your time gets away from you. And what happened to that meditation time? So take time this week to say, you know what? I'm gonna set the boundaries. I'm gonna take a look at what I need to do to set my focus and meditate on the Lord. Identify those distractions. See what it is that is pulling me and moving me and stepping me in the wrong direction, and just saying, I need to learn to set up. Maybe it's a matter of getting your family together or your spouse and sitting down and talking about it and saying, okay, what are the things we can do to help each other here? What discussion time could we have to help us identify those distractions and move each other into the quiet life? But it's not just about quietness and spending all day long, every day, just on the Word of God. Somehow, to counteract what's going on in Thessalonica, where they're just not working, not doing anything, I have to let the Word of God drive me into action. And that's why he gives us the next 2 points. And I've spent most of my time on that one because it hit me the hardest. And I need to learn to be quiet before the Lord better. I need to learn to reflect better. Because I know that when I do, I'll understand how to mind my own business. And not the business of everybody else. And not the business of everything else that's going on around me and the things that derail me. Mind your own business is channeling your energy into or planning out what God has called you to do. How do I plan it out? Unfortunately, the statement, mind your own business, has this snooty connotation, right? And you can take this text and say, see right here, Bible says, mind your own business. You have no right to tell me what to do. That's not what the text is saying, friend. It's not it at all, right? As if you have the right to hold on to a little lifestyle secret where you can close everybody else out and live how you want to live. That's not what this text is saying. People who have not been spending time with God have a difficult time knowing how to focus their business on channeling their energy into the things that are most important. What is most important? Well, in this book, in 1 Thessalonians, we're aiming at the coming of Christ. Every single chapter in the book of 1 Thessalonians ends with a reference to the coming of Christ. This is what's important. And that's what he's pointing them to. He's saying, you've got to focus your business and your attention on what's most important. How do you channel your attention on what's important? Spend time with God. Let his word move through you and burden you for the things that you need to be burdened for, and let your gifts come through as he gives awareness to the things that you're supposed to be doing. I saw this a little while back, but it's called How I Learned to Mind My Own Business. And I was walking by this fenced courtyard area and heard on the other side of the fence, these people were chanting, 13, 13, 13, 13, walking along. 13, 13, what is going on? I can't see over the fence. Can't see. Well, I'd really like to know what's going on in there. And walking along, and oh, there's a little crack in the fence here. And he sticks his head down there and sticks his eye in the hole, and boom, something pokes him in the eye. And everybody starts chanting, 14, 14, 14. There's something to be said for not sticking your eye or your nose, right, in somebody else's business, right? Right, I get it. That's not where I belong. But when we talk about minding our own business, we're talking about how we look at and how we plan our lives out for what's most important. How do I focus on what's most important? Peter told us in 1 Peter 2, you are strangers. You are temporary residents, so conduct yourself. Like he's talking about conducting yourselves honorably so that they would see your good works and glorify God. But Peter's telling us that this world's not our home. I don't live here. I'm just a temporary resident here passing through. And if I'm just passing through and this world is not my own, since that's true, then what am I supposed to do with the time and the resources that God has given me while I live right here? How am I supposed to use this world? I'm supposed to use this world as a tool. He's given me the resources and the people around me and the neighborhood that I live in and the church people that I get to be around. He's given you all of that to point people to him. That's why you're here. That's your business, is to be involved in the lives of other people. Mind your own business doesn't take away from your involvement in the lives of other people. It actually focuses it. It actually gives attention to it. The surrounding text in chapter 3 was about face-to-face and interacting with one another. And the first part of chapter 4 is about the accountability that we have in walking in purity. And so letting people who profess the name of Jesus Christ to live however they want to live is not only unloving, it actually damages the reputation of Christ in the church. You have every responsibility to help brothers and sisters in Christ to speak into their life and to help them. That is your job. If you love them, if you love one another, we have the opportunity, but you have to do it God's way. It's not your job to just blast at them and legislate them into righteousness, right? I mean, we do it in love, and we do it discipleship and helping people to love and to learn and grow. How do you do that? He's given you the opportunity to speak into the lives of people and to work and position you in the body with your gifts and your abilities and your talents and channel that into what pleases and honors the Lord. So let your meditation and on the character of God and your love for other people, let that fuel your love for other people, right? And help you channel that into how you're going to serve the Lord. And when you've spent time with him, when you've spent time with the Lord and you've seen those things, it's not difficult to pour your life and your energy into what he has directed you to do. He puts those burdens in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life and in your heart to help you see and to grow. And so third, he tells us then, work with your own hands. Work with your own hands. Labor. Commit. It's not a reference to busy work. It's not a reference to Harry just running around all over the place. But it's focused manual labor that has been born out of a time with God. The value of hard work, right? Ecclesiastes 9 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength. First Timothy, he says, you're to work to provide for your families. In Ephesians 4, he says, to give to those who have need. In Genesis 2, he says, God gave us our work to enjoy. We have great enjoyment in the work that he has committed you to do. There's a balance, though, as I already said before, that a life that never moves into action is a problem. Nothing will get done. And that's what was happening. That's what he's addressing with the people of Thessalonica. The believers in Thessalonica had that misunderstanding. They gave up their jobs to wait, right? But rest and time with God alerts us to the business that God has for us, and it drives us into work. It drives us into what he's got for us. The person who works with his own hands demonstrates his love for other people by willing to be humble, to love mercy. We just sang that new song this morning. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with the Lord. From Micah, I want to serve the body of Christ and love the people that are around me so that I'm not dependent upon other people, but I'm providing for and encouraging and edifying the body of Christ. Samuel was his name. He was 16 years old, and he was leaving home to find work. In his hand, he carried a bundle which contained everything that he owned. Just a little package. He hadn't gone very far, and he ran into an old friend, canal captain, friend of his. And he said, well, son, make sure you start off right, lad, and you'll get along just fine. And Samuel said, well, sir, the only thing I know how to do is to make soap and candles. That's all I know how to do, because that's what I did at home. Well, said the canal captain the canal boat captain, let me pray with you before you go, and I want to give you a little advice. So they knelt down. The old man prayed for this little boy, Samuel, and he asked God that he would take care of him and that he would guide him. And they sat down, and the old man said, well, son, someday somebody is going to be the leading soap maker in New York City. It could be you. It might not be, but I hope it would be. I hope it would be you. But either way, you need to be a good little boy. You need to give your heart to Christ. You need to give the Lord all that belongs to Him. And every dollar that you earn, make an honest soap and give a full pound. So he left that man and he went on to the great city. And he found it hard to get work. He struggled. But in that struggle, he remembered the words of his old friend. He found a good church. He gave 10 cents of his first dollar that he earned to the Lord. And he followed the captain's advice. Gave him a tenth of all of his income to the Lord. Then 2 tenths. Then 3 tenths, 4 tenths, 5 tenths. After his family was well established, he gave all of his income away. He gave it all away. His business grew. And I suppose it might still be in the hands of others. I don't know the status of this business today, and I don't know the model of his business today. But his name was Samuel Colgate. Perhaps when you see that name, it will remind you of the boy who gave his heart to Christ, sought to live as God wanted him to live. What business has God given for you? It's probably not going to be multi-million dollar Colgate company, but it could be. What is the business that the Lord has for you? It's going to start with one step, friend, and that is your quiet time with the Lord tomorrow morning. It's going to start there. What you believe about God will set the trajectory of your life. Can we just take a brief quiet moment and evaluate our hearts in these three areas? Your personal daily quiet time with the Lord. This is between you and the Lord only. Your life goals and your activities, your business, your plans, and the integrity and testimony of the work that you do. just want to encourage you to ambitiously seek the Lord this week in the quietness of your soul. And in that calmness, trust Him. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Lord, we are grateful for your word that fuels our business and our activities. Help us to be burdened for the things that burden your heart. Help us to love the things that you love. Help us to honor the things that you honor. To ambitiously seek you with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. Let us endeavor to be quiet before you and to move that quietness into love for the body, love for one another. Let the church rise up with a strong voice of hope and greatness of who Jesus is, that we would exalt you to our friends and neighbors and our co-workers because of what we believe about you. Let's sing together.